今来るこの雨遠くは晴れている、だからすぐに会えるね。やめば乾いて、そして星が降るから、お願い一枚一枚増える色の違う写真めくるように。
Hello, you're listening to the Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is a review on a silent voice, or Koei no Katachi.
No. This,
after 3 long years, almost 3 long years, we finally get to watch a silent voice. Thank you, Shout Factory. Gotta keep putting it in theaters. Gotta keep putting it in theaters over and over again. Waiting for it. But yes, Koei no Katachi, or silent voice. We're finally reviewing it. We got a Blu-ray copy of it. Finally got to...fire it right up, like, the same day it was delivered. Had to fire it in there and watch it. So, finally, we can actually review this show. This premiered back in September of 2016 was its original theater premiere date in Japan. Then I think it kind of over the couple years after that, they had it in theaters over here. But yeah, finally on Blu-ray in 2019. So, what can you do? Runtime is 2 hours and 10 minutes.Done by Studio Kyoto Animation. The source is a manga that is 7 volumes completed, and the genres are drama, school, shonen. And the creator behind this one was Yoshitoki Oima, who also is working on To Your Eternity, which I've been keeping up on. Hopefully eventually I'll do a review on that one. The director was Naoko Yamada, who has done a lot of work on K-On!, Liz and the Bluebird, Tomoko Market, and Tomoko Love Story.And the script was done by Reiko Yoshida, who did work on Aria the Animation, Girls on Panzer the Movie, Hanayamata, K-On!, Nananbiori, Tamako Love Story, and also created Tokyo Mew Mew, which I never knew. So I was like, cool. I like Tokyo Mew Mew. So yes, cool little team of workers behind that one. But yes, finally, can talk about this movie. It basically follows a guy named Shoya Ishida, and it starts off when he's in middle school, young kid,hanging out with two of his friends, Kazuki and Keisuke, and they just kind of have fun, mess around at school every day, and eventually, one day, a new student arrives at their school. Her name is, I don't know why I don't have to, Shoko Nishimiya, and Shoko Nishimiya, her kind of, the interesting thing about this whole situation is that she is deaf, and that's, of course, quite a shock to a bunch of middle school kids who are, you know, quite immature and don't really understand it.And they kind of go along with it, but after a while, it kind of seems like they start getting agitated by the existence of her because things start changing around their school to accommodate her. And eventually that turns to Shoya Ishida and his friends and several of the other classmates teasing her and bullying her and making remarks about her, outcasting anybody that might support her. And then it kind of jumps forward and it kind of follows, again...Shoya, and at the time that it kind of opens up, he is contemplating suicide. He kind of regrets what has happened in his past. But then he has a chance encounter with Shoko at a club for sign language, and it kind of seems like he chooses to kind of try to make amends, so to speak. And that's kind of the gist of the movie as a whole. It's just kind ofapretty much an attempt at a redemption story. That's what he's kind of going for. I don't want to kind of spoil things as it kind of goes along, but what it is an attempt at a redemption and what people think about him. A lot of people kind of turned on him when they were back in middle school and she kind of transferred out and trying to make amends of his friendships that he might have or did have. So how did it work out, Chris?
I loved it.
It's Kyoto Animation, so Chris is going to love it. No, I'm
joking. It is one of those things. It's frustrating because in one respect, all I can do is heap a ton of praise on this show because, or on this movie, because it did everything right. I mean, literally from, it's a gorgeous movie through and through. The voice acting was on top of it. Special props to the voice actress that did Nishimiya. She really tried to capture that, the essence of the deaf person who's trying to speak. Absolutely, just overall the emotions were high through a lot of the movie. It just was so well done. Me and Andrew will probably talk on it later, but the narrative structure really tried to keep it compact. Where we were concerned about how much there is in this story, how could they possibly mix that into a 2-hour movie? They did that very well. The characters were lovable. Just almost everything done just near perfect.
Yeah, because that was a concern we had, was like when we heard that they were doing an adaptation, it was like, oh sweet, I cannot wait for the series to come out. And they're like, no, it's a movie and it's 2 hours long. And yeah, I people probably call, I was like, oh crap, 2 hours, there's no way you can put the 7 volumes into a 2-hour movie, they're gonna cut stuff. And that was really concerning to me. I was actually voicing my concern out there. And what I told Chris prior, or right after we watched the movie, was I'm like, I almost wanted to go read the manga again to refresh myself, because I knew that there was, every side character had a storyline, but I didn't know to what extent those came up to that climactic ending, because it had a very cool climactic ending to the manga. And so I'm like, but I kind of want to go check out the manga just to see what was missing. But at the same time, how vague those memories are in my head of the entire story, I can look at this truly as if I'm watching it just as a, what is the movie? How is the movie? And I'm like, we kind of came to agreement. Like, yeah, well, let's just do a review of the movie. And then later on, we can go back and revisit the manga, because I want to review the movie. And what I found was that even though I do remember some plot lines of the side characters,
between the two of us, we were constantly going, yeah, but this happened, this happened, this happened, but I don't remember this. And then Andrew would pop in and say, yeah, this, and this happened. So it's one of those things of, between the two of us, I'm pretty sure we know the entire story really well.
But what we came to conclusion of was like, but this as a narrative, it hit every beat perfectly. Yeah, there was a certain character that you have to kind of assume that there was a love interest happening there, but that was like the only thing that I can see that was kind of missing. Overall, it was a purely, it was a full, concise movie. It hit all the plot points to tell the message. Now, the only critique that I had was that I don't think they told Ishida's story well enough, but definitely Nishimaya's story, which is technically the crux of the story, probably, I would say probably 67% of the original manga story is about Nishimiya, and they pulled her off perfectly.
Yeah, interestingly enough, like I was telling Andrew last night when we were discussing this, Nishimiya, I think they pulled off her story better in the movie. There is one very, very big thing that they didn't do in the movie that they did in the manga that kind of sucks that they left that out, but I do think that they pulled her off a lot better than they did in the manga. They just, it's not that they didn't capture it in the manga, it just, it was better in the movie.
Yeah, Nishima's entire story is that she feels like she's breaking things, but she wants to mend things. And it was really cool, at some point we were kind of talking about the fact that at some point Ishida covers his ears. And I was like, I seem to remember there was a line in the manga that said, he said, oh, this is what she experiences, this, the silence. And they didn't have that in the movie, but I still pulled something else from that, was this aspect of, you know, cutting out all the noise, all the gossip, all what everybody's saying. And I'm like, that's exactly what she hears, because she doesn't hear the gossip. She just sees people and wants to connect to them. Whereas everybody else, they connect with each other because they're constantly hearing each other gossip, and they know what each other think of each other because they hear the comments, the passing comments, they had with Sahara, and that passing comment that she heard. It's like that heartbreaking aspect that you know where you stand with people, where she doesn't have that, and she wants to connect with people. And I think they portray that very well, that frustration that she has. Love the scene where they had the little kind of spout between the two of them in the classroom. It was like, I totally remember that from the manga, and they pulled that off very well. But to your credit, I know one of the concerns that was with this adaptation was they changed the art style to they QAnied it. And it's like, that's not necessarily a bad thing to me because I love Kyoto Animation's art style. But at the same time, having the characters move, having the artistry and the attention to detail that Kyoto Animation puts into their characters, there is no better studio to pull off this story because there's so much in what the characters do. There's the motions, the hand, the sign language, the reactions the characters have, the struggles they have. Seeing Shoko struggle to try to get the words out to Ishida and have that portrayed with such detail that they do, again, to your credit, what you were saying, they pulled her off. They pulled off that emotion, that struggle, more so than the manga. I love the manga. Don't get me wrong. I think it is the best manga that I have ever read. But having it animated just took it to a whole other level because you can see that care they put into the characters and actually make them come to life. And that's, again, nothing to discount the credit. They're both their own medium. It's just they pulled it off, and I definitely appreciate that. I was surprised to see how much emphasis they put on her sister, Yuzuru. That was an excellent little story bits, and they focused on her a lot, which I think, again, kind of adds to the mending that Ishida's doing and the struggles that Shoko's doing. I know I'm jumping back and forth between first names, last name. It sucks when you watch something that has people that are, you know, formerly talking to each other as their last names and first names, so I'm mixing them up here. And then you have sisters who they can't really say Nishima to both of them because they both have the same last name. They did well on Kawaii. I thought that was an excellent addition as well. I'm glad they stuck with her. Like I said, they did cut out a lot of characters, but they did get her story out, and I think they pulled it off very well as well. Sahara, I still love her. I think I remember loving her to death in the manga. I loved her here as well. Kind of that somebody that wants to help but is kind of pushed back by people.
Yeah, they did capture at least the essence of the gamut of characters who were in each level of bully-ish type.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's one of the things I loved about the manga and I loved in the movie is just they pull that off very well. You have the person who claims that everybody else is bullying, but then you kind of turn around and say, hey, but you didn't do anything either. You stood there.
Yeah.
You have the ones that are actually perpetrating, the ones that are, you know, grabbing the hearing aid and throwing out the window. You have the ones that are rallying him up and standing next to him. You have the turntables happening. It covers the entire realm of bullying. And that's something that is in this story inherently what makes it unique and very tragic at the same time, but something you really do have to experience is this element of, yeah, nobody's supposed to be comfortable with that first part of it, either in the manga or in the movie. It is a very uncomfortable thing to watch because they're stupid kids and they don't know what they're doing. They don't know the extent of what they're doing. And then you have it actually stick on it and say, well, here's the repercussions. Here is the fallback. Here is the next part of the story. And to have this kind of, technically, I would say like a 3-point storyline is really refreshing. And it was an experience that I enjoyed in one medium and loved it in this medium as well.
Yeah, I love the fact that, I mean, I think we discussed this at some point when we were talking about the manga or the manga. This story to chop it up as just a simple redemption story is vastly underplaying what this story is. And it is a story that yes, there is a redemption story in there, but it's also a story of, like Andrew said, repercussions, talking about how this thing affects people and how those interpersonal relationships are affected from one point to the other point, everybody turned on Ishida at one point, and that cut him off from his community per se. And then how did that affect him? Why did he, how he reflected on his actions? How does one,
self-loathing?
Yeah. How does one try to, to redeem it without redeem themselves without actually without making it seem like they're doing it to redeem themselves.
The constant thing they always ask him is like, what is this you're trying to redeem yourself
exactly.
Are you doing this for yourself kind of thing?
It's such a wonderful story. And if you've even slightly thought that this is probably not a show or story worth watching, it is so worth digging into. It's such a wonderful story.
I really did appreciate the emphasis on the self-loving aspect. Not that it's a good thing, but I mean, it literally opens up with him setting up everything to go out and commit suicide, and that is something that is kind of hit on multiple times throughout the entire movie. The mother struggle with the fact that he did that, and it's one of those things where it doesn't just rely on, well, here's a cute girl being bullied. You obviously want her to be happy and you want to see her smile and yay, that was the entire movie. No, it is this constant reflection on oneself and the struggles of trying to overcome not only multiple people who deem you as being a bad person, but you also have this aspect that even if he does gain, you know, some ground with somebody and try to redeem something, there's somebody else that's going to step up and say, what are you talking about? That's the bully. And then it kind of, it stumbles back on him. You have that whole rolling the snowball up the hill and it kind of rolling back down on you. And that was something that I really enjoyed. The emphasis, and it goes into the visuals as well. It is definitely a beautiful show. It's Kyoto Animation. It's a movie. Even with something like Violet Evergarden, they do incredible work. And then you have the budget they can put into a movie. It kind of just multiplies on itself. Just the, like we mentioned before with Kyoto Animation, their attention to detail is present in this as well. You have, there was a certain scene where he's kind of always kind of glancing at the ground, and they finally start showing you constantly looking at the ground. And so you have this perspective of his visual where all he can see is people's feet, and he's ashamed of himself, and he doesn't want to look up. He's afraid of being rejected, or he's afraid of the gazes that people are going to give him. And that was something that they portrayed really well. And then on top of that, you have the sceneries, the visuals of every environment they're in is just absolutely gorgeous. The water effects. There's a certain scene that they even showed in the trailers of the characters when they jumped in the river, and just this absolutely gorgeous animation of the characters kind of swooshing around trying to find something. It is definitely a absolutely beautiful movie, no doubt. Music was fantastic as well. Like Chris mentioned, the voice acting was just superb. I checked out the dub a little bit, and I think they did an okay job there as well. They kind of tried to pull off the same thing that the Japanese voice actress did with Nishima and her struggle with, you know, enunciating, because they can't really hear exactly how they sound. So definitely give them credit there as well. So whether you want to watch it in subtitle or in English, you're definitely going to get a cool show. I was surprised how much I enjoyed Nagatsuki, the chubby guy, later on in the movie, because I want to say that I did not like him.
I didn't like him in the manga. And maybe that's because
and maybe that's because they kind of took one huge aspect that he was a main role in the manga. They kind of technically took that out, and maybe that aspect was what kind of made me frustrated with him. He was a really cool guy, and I really loved his character in this particular movie. So the cigar out of the French fry.
That's the picture that they chose to use for him too.
Yeah, exactly. That's his character, the smoke and the French fry. So yeah, really, really cool movie. I'm definitely so happy to finally watch it, and I'm glad that it lived up to my expectations.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, is like waiting 3 years, complaining on Twitter constantly. I'm sorry, Shout Factory, complaining at you on Twitter constantly about I want this Blu-ray already. I already have the limited edition pre-ordered, so I'll have that as well. But I'm, like I said, I'm glad that it lived up to my expectations.
Well, at least now you know that you didn't, you're not doing
my
that.
My double dip's not a well, it's still a bad thing, but I'm not upset about having that limited edition for sure. I guess the final thing that I really want to hit on is the other reason why I'm glad that this movie pulled it off so well is that it's one thing that I can I can honestly say, if I'm really wanting somebody to check out A Silent Voice, and somebody's like, but I really don't want to read manga, it's like, check out the movie. I can honestly say, just watch the movie. And if you love it to death, then go watch the, go read the manga, and you can get so much more out of each of the characters. And I think it's a solid way that I can suggest it, so. Yeah.
Nishimiya is so, just a golden girl. She is just pure... Just pure through and through. I love her to
It was funny when I was we had this whole ordeal of trying to get this Blu-ray to play because my controller for the PS4 was not working. So I'm like, okay, time to take the Xbox One that I have not turned on in 5 years, plug that sucker in, and I finally get that running. And it literally said, cannot read this disc. And I'm like, there's got to be an update for the DRM or something. I'm like, dang it. So then I went to go switch back to the PS4, and thankfully the PS4 was working. And then I ran the updates today, and it literally was like 6 gigabytes of updates for that Xbox One. So that was a fun ordeal. But anyways, I totally forgot where I was going with that. So
I was just pointing out that Nishimiya.
When we were going to put the Blu-ray in, I was like, "We're gonna cry again, aren't we?" He's like, "Yeah, probably. I think probably a good 3 points. There was no stopping it."
Yeah. There. Oh gosh. Yes.
The apology to the mom was that killed me.
Yeah,
that killed me.
There
that
was out. The, I was surprised that the big scene.
Both apologies to moms. There, yeah. I used to say that.
the big scene didn't hit me as hard as I was expecting it to. However, it was
beautifully done though.
It was wonderfully done. But there was the scene right after that. Yes, that hit
one hard. After another. You knew it was coming. You're like, here it comes. One after another, here it comes. Yeah, it was a. Love it. I can't wait to rewatch it again here eventually. So yeah, A Silent Voice, Koi no Katachi. Check it out. Grab the Blu-ray. Definitely suggest it. And we thank you all for listening, and we hope you all enjoyed. And you all take care.
Oos!